You're back listening to pretty much a special broadcast of Dose of Reality Radio. Normally our thing is we're going to do about one show a week, usually every Sunday night. This is actually our third show this week. We've had a few different people that kind of wanted to get together. So it's kind of worked out. I'm here with Justin Cook as usual tonight. Justin, how you doing, bud?
Not bad. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully tonight we don't get cut off at the knees like last night. I don't know how to explain that, but really frustrating on our end.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, there was nothing I could do. I mean, everything was going down from the Skype to the Shoutcast to the Audacity to the server that hosts the thing to the actual my website. I mean, it was like everything at once. Except for stupid things like ESPN.com and things I don't need to use. It really seemed like there was something going on. And I don't like to talk like I'm all paranoid or anything like that, but definitely last night something fishy was.
I tend to agree. I mean, I think that it was, you know, like you said, too many things at once. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that they've tried to stifle free speech. You know, and I have heard of this a lot, especially with different shows that touch different things. And like you said, we don't want to sound paranoid or sound like we're, you know, some type of Alex Jones, you know, always claiming censorship. But I don't know, something was not right about that. And you know, I don't know if it was maybe after our interview with Simon last week or, you know, who knows? Maybe you pissed the wrong person off. Brian's been getting attacked by trolls all week. I've noticed a lot of the stuff that we bring up has been getting discussed, so that could be a reason why it seems like a lot of the theories that Brian's brought out and you know, Simon Shack and Phil J. Han, all them guys have brought out. You know, I think because of Brian right now, it's all reaching you know, somewhat of the mainstream truthers, and there's people out there that want to know the answers. And I'm seeing big debates over this stuff on Facebook. So, I mean, you know, it would definitely make sense if, you know, for them to try to stifle the truth from coming out. So
I really do. I really, you know, and I've said it. I've never felt like this before, but I feel like over the last weekend that they've really stuck some trolls on me. I mean, they've just been nonstop. They've been relentless. They'll come on all your posts and they'll just attack your character. They'll never once address any of the evidence that's in there.
Any.
And they'll tell you that they knew a victim and this and that. And I'll politely ask the victim's name. And it's been, what, almost 72 hours now. And I still haven't got a victim's name out of it. And it's just like, it's one story after another. I'm insensitive because this woman was driving the subway. She happened to look up the window, see Flight 175 smashed into the tower. It's like, come on, man. I mean, when are the stories going to stop? You know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be insensitive. And you know, before, you know, long before we got into the victims may be fake, we were all about the victims. We felt for the victims more than anybody. We were going to go down to New York with a bunch of people, camp out there, and interview the victims' families and put them up on my website and talk to them and everything for the families. But then when you find out that they're lying to you, and that's a total deception, you get this ugly feeling in your stomach, don't you?
Oh, of course. It's, you know, just the whole day, I mean, everything I've learned from that day just gets me more and more disgusted. And, you know, even if you know, here's the thing, even if you don't buy the whole thing that they faked the whole, you know, even if you believe that they faked some dead people, is that right? You know, how does that feel that they used your emotions like that and told, you know, and told you, you know, why would you need to fake one person if this is a legit terror attack or even a legit, you know, whatever, false flag? I mean,
why fake any? And if you fake one, right, and it happens on the day that all this happened, then that shows complete complicity.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, how can it not?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and here's the thing is when you go to, you know, obviously we know the media was involved, just by looking at the different footage that we got from that, you know. And like Brian was saying last night, I think that needs to, you know, to be the just as big a focus as Building 7 is really trying to show people the media complicity in this event. You know, that right there will, you know, I mean, and even if we, you know, even if we can't get, you know, we get, if we 30% of the people knew this, and that probably would have been able to happen if the truth movement wasn't so splintered from the start and they didn't send these agents in like we, you know, talked about the other night and everything. I think that it would be a totally different thing, you know? So, I mean, it's just like anything else, you know, look how we look at things now. It's almost like we, you know, think about it. When something happens, we almost go to look and see if it really did happen nowadays. And that wasn't the case back then, you know, and that's because of all this stuff that's going on. You know, I mean, as far as like, you know, you look now and like, I don't believe that Giffords was, you know, was shot. I don't believe that happened. Of course, there's a lot of evidence to back, you know, my position there. You know, and I will say that's the one thing that Ed Chiarini was correct on. You know, everything since then has been crazy garbage. But that one thing though, you know, just the X plan and showing, you know, and like I said, we talked about this, but you know, that's the thing nowadays. They fake events. You know, they don't even need to pull it off because the TV is their best friend. You know, the TV is how these people. It's everything. Think about it. That's how everybody got connected to 9/11, was through the television. You know, you saw the people jumping. You saw the planes hit. You saw, you know, and how many times over those, you know, the first month after, you know, how many times did they drill it in your head watching, you know, that South Tower impact, you know, and you know, it's insane. You know, and to this day, every anniversary they come back and they push it on people too. You know, you know, I want to get into something a little more. I'm going to let Brian speak his piece, but the first thing here, that we're going to get into in a little while is the this hoaxed alien invasion. Now, Brian, do you want to talk? I'm going to let you finish on 9/11 first before we get into this, because I know you have some more to say on that and just the troll situation.
Yeah, Why don't we do that? You know. The thing with the troll situation, guys, is we need to learn to just and I need to learn my own lesson from this. I should have taken some people's advice on this earlier today because I kind of let it get to me. You gotta just ignore them. If it's understandable that we need to wake people up and we need to show them facts, but if these people are just absolutely not interested in hearing any of your facts and all they want to do is discredit you, call you unpatriotic, call you this, call you that. You know what? Tell them to go fuck off. I've had enough. I have. I've had enough. I've had enough of being Mr. Nice Guy to them. I have. Because they just want to come on there. They want to tell you that they know somebody that died. Then you ask a name. They can't even give you the name of the person that they knew that died that they're so upset about. I mean, come on. It should just roll right off their tongue. And it just doesn't stop. They just come on. They go on all these message boards. They attack all the people trying to do the real research. And they try and distract you. They try and distract you with all these different rabbit trails. And I just see them all over. They've been around since the moon hoax. They were around for JFK. And I think with 9/11, they're around in more full force than ever. They act like they agree with you. That they're your friends on the internet. And then all of a sudden, they just turn on you, you know? They just turn on you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have much more to say on it other than I you know, I didn't know much about COINTELPRO till a few months ago. We never really got too deep into this stuff, so they never really had a reason to be looking at me or whatever. And I don't know. I just feel like there's a group of trolls now that are monitoring what we do. I do. There's trolls listening to what we're saying, watching what we're doing, following us around on Facebook and these other sites, and they're trying to discredit us. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. And guys, just do this. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to any of them. Just look at the evidence I provide. Use your own mind. make your own decisions. You can't get past the fact that they made computer-generated graphics, they made fake victims, they made fake planes, they lied to go to war, they're murdering millions of people. Okay, they can try and sugarcoat it any way they want. That's what's going on, and we need to expose this whole media scam. That they control the world. The media controls us through imagery. And once everybody realizes that it's just a total hoax, I think we can get a lot of power back. But let's get right into the alien stuff, Justin. And if people want to call in about 9/11, we'll get back to it. And I know you've been dying to get into this stuff. So if we take a phone call on 9/11, we'll go back. But for right now, let's move forward.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, this has been one of my pet things for a few years now. I've at one point I was obsessed with it, just like Brian is 9/11. These, you know, certain things, you know, this is one thing, and I've been told by so many people that they don't believe it's going to happen. And I totally believe it is. And the reason for that would be, you know, the predictive programming. You know, I've talked about it a little before. But just recently, there was a recent turn of events where, we actually had, which we're going to play in a couple minutes. We had a high-ranking military official on actually talking on Australian mainstream media, telling them how they're preparing for possible alien invasion and also how they're setting up this new telescope in Australia that's going to – Australia, New Zealand, one or the other – and I don't mean to say they're the same. I'm just not sure where it's going. It's somewhere in between. Or there may be a couple of them is maybe what the case is. But anyway, and it's supposed to be some monitoring station so that we can tell if we're going to be invaded by a foreign enemy. Now, for those of you out there, I'm not going to get into aliens, whether I believe in them or not, because that's not important. The important thing here is they plan to fake an alien invasion. So that you will all join up into a one world government, because, you know, like Reagan said it, believe back, you know, to, you know, talking or, you know, addressing Gorbachev, saying how, you know, this is a big speech, how he said how, you know, could you imagine if, you know, there was a common enemy to draw us together, you know, and I believe he said something like the whole world coming together, you know, just like Independence Day. You know, just like you saw in the movie. And the purpose of this would be to, you know, to get their one world government that they've wanted for so long. And what better way to bring all these groups together than an outside threat? Before, you know, let me get into a little bit more of the people that have talked about this. For one, you had the lady Carol Rosen. She actually reported that Wernher von Braun had talked about it, and I believe she's not the only witness to this. There's other ones too. Wernher von Braun talked about it. He said the last card that they will play is the alien card. Wernher von Braun, for those of you that know it, is like the father of rockets. The man was involved in Operation Paperclip. He was a Nazi that they took away to work for NASA. They took away his Nazi classification. And pretty much, made him the father of the U.S. space program. So, I mean, this guy knows what he's talking about, you know. And then further on down the line, you know, you had people like researchers like Sergei Monast. Sergei Monast was a Canadian researcher. Him and his buddy that were working on this both died within days of presenting new evidence or, you know, new research that they found. On this Project Bluebeam. Now, and also too, Bill Cooper warned about it a few times. Bill Cooper said that this is going to be the case.
Alien invasion.
In fact, I'll try to, after we get the video, I want to say Bill Cooper's exact quote, you know, where he talks about, a messiah presenting himself after, you know, World War III breaks out. And, you know,
I have it ready whenever you're ready to go.
What's that? Okay. Give me about another 2 minutes or so just to
get this. No rush. Just letting you know I'm ready for you.
Appreciate it. You had Bill Cooper, Sergei Monas, these guys, they died. They were definitely they definitely were onto something. And then, of course, a few years ago, we had a young researcher by the name of Rick Clay. Now, he brought a lot of startling things together as far as the Zion Olympics, the Olympics that are going to take place this summer, you know, in London. Now, we know London is one of their cities. You know, the Crown Corporation owns it. It's one of these things where, you know, symbolic city. They plan to make it the new East, you know, the new Jerusalem, pretty much. And you know, and it's very symbolic. But now, as the Olympics draw closer, we're seeing more and more symbology. And that's why, you know, I don't know if it's going to take place at the Olympics, but the Olympics are also known as a place where you draw the whole world together, you know, to compete in these games. And, you know, you forget it, you know, it's this big celebration of, you know, it's kind of like a UN type thing or whatever, you know. And
very
as we
symbolic.
Know. Yeah, very symbolic. And the rituals that they pulled off, for example, at the 1984 games, they actually did a like a fake alien land. Everyone knew it was fake, of course. It wasn't like people thought it was, you know, maybe a couple idiots did, but
yeah.
They pretended to march a Martian, you know, a green alien out of a disc UFO or whatever, and then you know, so it's been something that's been on their plate for a while. And then, of course, the Beijing Olympics too. They had the whole whole London bus bombing, you know, the ritual. They had it played out to a T. And if you guys want, I'll dig up the links for you later, and throw them in the chat or throw them on the site for you guys. You know, it's really just appalling that they're pointing to something is going to happen at London. You know, we know there's a lot of things there, but you know, without further ado, I don't want to get into the, you know, we'll get into the London thing a little bit if you want, but here, you know, here straight out of this guy's mouth anyway. Probably play that tape. See what they're talking about on the mainstream in Australia.
Sure. Let me get it up right here.
Could it really happen? The US military is making plans just in case.
Get here. Right?
This video, which apparently was broadcast only by Australian mainstream media, shows an interview with Paul Springer of U.S. Air Command and Staff College about the plans of the American government for a hostile alien invasion. Gentlemen, the false flag operation is on.
...of alien invasion.
Yes, it is best to be prepared for anything, and Professor Paul Springer from the U.S. Air Command and Staff College would advise the military in the event of an invasion. He had to get special government clearance to talk to us, and I spoke to him earlier. Paul, it's an incredibly difficult thing, isn't it, to plan to fight back against an enemy we would know absolutely nothing about.
Well, that's absolutely true, but at the same time, we make all kinds of contingency and war plans against enemies that we never expected to face in combat. And so the idea that maybe the enemy will have something technological or doctrinal that we've never foreseen is something that we try to plan for any way that we can.
Well, obviously, if we did get invaded, these aliens would be much more technologically advanced than we are because we didn't even know they were there. How would you go about fighting an enemy that was just so infinitely superior in technology?
Well, the first thing you'd want to try to do is preserve your forces as best you could. You would want to learn as much about the enemy as possible, and that would mean things like trying to find vulnerabilities, trying to capture technology. But survival is your first priority, because if you send all of your forces into the field and have them destroyed by that superior enemy force, then when you do find a vulnerability, you won't have any opportunity to exploit it.
What do you think would be the alien plan? What would they do first?
That really depends on why they're here in the first place. If they're here for the extraction of a specific resource, for example, they might want to just eliminate any resistance that might block them from their objective. If, on the other hand, their goal was actual occupation and conquest, then they would probably have to prioritize anything that they perceive to be a threat to their own dominance. And so that would probably start by wiping out as many communications networks as possible and eliminating as many weapons as might represent some form of threat either to them or to the resources that they're trying to extract. So they might very well want to counter every nuclear weapon, not because it represented a threat to them, but because it might destroy whatever they're here to collect.
Is this something, this kind of planning, that governments around the world do consider?
It is, in the same way that governments do plan for any future potential calamities or conflicts. This is the type of thing that, because it's neutral, you're not provoking a fight or assuming a fight with a country that you might want to maintain a good diplomatic relationship with. If you insert alien in place of some human civilization that you might come into conflict with, then you're far less likely to create any kind of a diplomatic problem.
Wouldn't it be a strange situation if humanity had to band together if we were fighting alongside, I guess, Russia or the Taliban?
It would, but keep in mind that many of the greatest civilizations in human history have been formed basically to counter a common enemy. And you look at some of the great world powers of the globe today, and you find a lot of them formed because of the fear of a common enemy. Take, for example, the United States, where you had 13 colonies, each of which pursued its own interests and its own goals, until they had to band together to try to win their independence collectively from the British.
You make some very good points, and we're lucky to have you should the worst arise. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As you can see, if by one hand the White House vehemently denies any acknowledgement of the presence of extraterrestrials on Earth, by the other hand the U.S. military is working heavily in the alien invasion false flag propaganda. But what is intriguing, mainstream media broadcasted this video. Could it be connected to the fact that Australia is the seat of the Mega Radio Telescope project, led by the United States? And let's not forget that according to Fox News consultant and expert in military technology, Allison Barry, who speaks in behalf of the U.S. Department of Defense, one of the goals of the SKM Mega Radio Telescope is detect an alien invasion, which suggests that a major false flag event is a matter of few time.
Radio telescopes, you're going to have to start at the beginning for us.
Right. Super cool. It'll be the largest and most sensitive radio telescope ever built, known to mankind.
Wow.
Quite literally, yeah. So what that means is it'll give us a whole new capability to explore the universe. And of course, from my defense perspective, check out what's out there, check out if there are aliens and if they have an appetite to, paying us a visit in an unfriendly fashion. So that's a defense perspective. But I think it's a fun story, but also an
interesting also is the fact that the Pentagon is carrying out a six-month deployment procedure of thousands of Marines in Australia, and regardless that the official explanation is a strategic geopolitical move against the growth of the Chinese economic and political influence in the Oceania, it could actually be part of the hostile alien invasion false flag operation that perhaps may take place down under. The fact is that this agenda, as well as the mind programming of the population towards an extraterrestrial enemy, is fully operational at least in the United States and Australia, and in my personal opinion the Illuminati Zionist apparatus wants to prevent the contact of people with alien civilizations, because it certainly threatens their New World Order agenda.
Alright, well I think that's good anyway. Wow. We back with a little echo. Yeah, so there you see, probably got the echo. All right. Hold on a second. All right, there it is. Echo's
Justin,
going.
Can
all right.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
So, how long have they been building this up? Has this been like a 20-year martial law type fear-mongering thing, or is this something they've been building up maybe the last 5 or 10 years, and it really seems like it's going to be pushed through?
Well, that's the thing about it, and I think that it's something that it's, you know, it can go either way, but I think for something like this, it kind of fits the goal. I don't know. I buy this more than I buy the everyone going to a FEMA camp thing. You know, that's my personal opinion on it. I see maybe, you know, after that, but in my opinion, it's just like World War III. It's just like, You know, it's something that I think is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. You know, if it doesn't happen this year, I think it's something that's going to definitely happen. I just really think that it's strong that they're going to pull it off soon. You know, I may be wrong in that, but I guarantee you that it happens in the next 10, you know, 10 years or so, no matter what. But either way, you know, let's think about it. You know, when this does happen, you know, they're going to use that card at some point in time.
Dude, look how they did 9/11 10 years ago and how believable it was. How, if they do an alien thing 10 years from now, we're never going to know. It's going to look so believable with the special effects. Exactly. And we will, because they'll make some of the same type of perspective mistakes and shadow mistakes. They always will, but there'll be less. It'll be harder to see. And, I mean, I just hope we can wake enough people up before then, you know? I really do. I really got to commend the work that these guys are doing over at the Clues Forum. And some people don't realize, you know, people think that, you got a bunch of guys comparing pictures and videos. Let me tell you guys something. Quit your job just for a week. Go spend about 100 hours staring at the same videos over and over and over again and look for glitches in it. And see how fun your life is. Seriously.
I agree.
See how fun of a life you have. You're going to want to rip your hair out of your head.
No, I agree.
Hard work, dude. That's hard
it
work.
Is. Just a couple of times when I've been asked to help research something, just, you know, watching for
certain,
you're talking about hours upon hours of just watching footage of, you know,
one image.
Yeah. Or a few images, you know, or just trying to see what the inconsistencies are, seeing the one image on four different channels or whatever, you know, and that's the crazy thing about it. You know, no, it's insane. And the sad thing is, though, is that people noticed this stuff in 2002. You know, they didn't notice the whole thing with CGI back then. They noticed that the plane hit was fake, though. They noticed in 01. You know?
They did. So, the thing with the moon hoax doesn't bother me so much, because it's just the moon hoax. We're talking about something that transformed the world so much where they invade nation after nation and murder babies. You know what I mean? There's a big difference here. I think people forget that sometimes, because it's a hoax is a hoax. But no, we're murdering millions of people all over the world and making the rich richer and the poor poorer, and it's just all this huge money-sucking embezzlement agenda, all based on lies and horror. And I really think that some of the lower people in the news are some of the people we need to go after. Obviously, we're not going to get after a Dick Cheney or a Brzezinski or any of these guys. But a Rick Leventhal or somebody like that, Steve Rosenbaum, start putting pressure on people like this. Maybe get them to talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Imagine a world where people just didn't believe the bullcrap on the media.
That world right there is something that, you know, I would love to live in that world, to where everybody automatically questions every event, you know. And I hate to say it, but that's how it is nowadays. Anything on a national scale, you have to think of it as, what is the implications of this? And of course, 9/11 had huge implications. Like Brian said, you know, we invaded how many countries on that? They're still throwing 9/11 on Iran propaganda. You know, the fact of the matter, too, is, you know, look at these people sitting down in Gitmo. Do you think the American people would have not, like, you know, would have allowed that in their name? You know, maybe, yeah, America has turned into a bunch of pansies. But, you know, no, they wouldn't have such blind hatred of Arabs and Muslims and everything. And that's what it did. You know, that had to be the boogeyman for
it's racism,
you know,
guys. It's racism, Justin.
Blatant racism.
People over here hate people of that skin color. They hate Muslim people because they think, because of what they saw on 9/11, that these people want to blow them up. They want to blow their kids up. They want to kill cops. They want to kill firefighters. They don't give a damn about your family. And you know what? Those people are the same as you, except they've got darker skin. That's it. right?
Yeah.
Darker skin, different accents, maybe different. We all smell a little different, look a little different, talk a little different. We're all the same, man. We're all the same. And they use, you know how we talk about how they use separation? How easy is it to use division from people in other countries that never communicate with each other? It's so easy to use division amongst those people, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you want to divide people within your hometown, it's easy. You want to divide people that live halfway across the world, and you just tell them that they're trying to blow up your family all the time. Well, it's pretty easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. You know, I understand that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, you try to explain things to them like 9/11 and they don't want to hear it or whatever, yada yada, right away. I don't understand the people that act almost like they get it, but they don't want to hear it. It's like, how can you consciously go on knowing that something's wrong and people are being murdered and you don't want to know the rest of the story? Doesn't that bother you?
Yeah. I can't understand how anybody at all can just say, like, any life is not important, you know. And that's the thing that bothers me more than anything. It's just, you know, when it's like, oh, you know, someone says, you know, fuck the, you know, the Arabs or whatever. And, you know, same thing with any race, you know. Even when someone says, hey, I'm on Israel or whatever, you know, you're still talking about innocent kids, Zion, that had no part in this. You know what I'm saying?
What do? They didn't do anything. They're just kids.
Exactly. They want the same things as our kids want. You know, they want to play soccer. You know, yeah, I know soccer's a little faggy sport, but I'm just joking there. But you know, they want to play whatever. You know, just like our kids want to play baseball or whatever. Sorry for that. I don't mean to use the fag word. Anyway, you know, getting back to it, though, you know, to the seriousness of this, you know, it's disgusting, you know, depleted uranium spread all around their country. You know, and here's the thing. I was talking about it today to the guy I work with, and you know, he's a NOM vet, and, you know, and he was talking about, you know, the Agent Orange and stuff. And I tried to tell him some of this stuff, and he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He says, you know, well, why would they, you know, why would they, and he keeps bringing up, you know, but how does that help the taxpayer? Like, you know, you're trying
it
to
doesn't. It's not supposed to help the taxpayer.
It's you got to see me. It's like banging, you know, nails and you know into. I don't know. It's a brick wall with this guy. You know, it's something that we're that's just indoctrination to its fullest extent. You know, and it's not only. You know, that generation is for one, you'll be lucky if you find 1 in 10 people, I mean, 1 in 100 people, that even, you know, have an idea of what's going, you know, what's going on, that don't just say, hey, you know, invade Libya because, you know, the, you know what I mean? How many people in that generation right there? And a lot of them too were hippies. A lot of them were anti-war, but yet they still buy the lies. They still buy the, you know, the lies and think that these humanitarian wars are good, you know, and preventive wars is, you know, it's like fucking for virginity. It's just
it never made sense to me, even before I got into any of this, and I always never understood, how are we preventing terrorism by starting a war? It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see maybe sending in, like, you know, raids and shutting down little terror camps before they become armies or whatever, but to actually bomb the crap out of places and start a war to prevent terrorism. Isn't terrorism, isn't war terrorism? Isn't it just a huge version of terrorism? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, you know it's what? Just, war is terrorism with a bigger budget, and that's it.
It's a terrorism with a bigger budget, and it makes me sink to think that not only would we want to go to war so bad and cause these evil acts on people so bad to go over there, Justin, and steal their shit like a bunch of scumbags. We're going to murder them and we're going to steal their shit and we're going to blame them for a bunch of murder of innocent women and children over here in the United States. Does it get much more cowardly than that?
You know, it doesn't.
That's why I'm pissed. You know,
it's messed up. We're talking millions, Brian. We're not talking a few thousand. We're talking millions of people.
Millions. We're talking millions of people dying. We're talking trillions of dollars. I mean, you can't even count the money with the reconstructive contracts and the oil contracts and you know, the millions of people that have died. And you know, the scam, how many years has it been? 11? You don't think the 9/11 hoax is going to generate revenue for hundreds of years to come? Of course it is. Of course it is. And it's all nothing but a scam. It's all nothing but a plot that they thought up to empty out some friggin' building, smoke it out during a time frame, and roll a videotape. I mean, it's an ingenious plan, but it's an evil plan. It's an evil plan because people died over this. People in other countries died over this. I could see if they didn't kill anybody and they pulled off this scam somehow and they embezzled billions of dollars. I swear to God, I would think they were awful people, but you know what? I'd be like, you know what? Good for them. They embezzled billions of dollars. They didn't kill anybody. Whatever. They're big-time thieves. But to go overseas and ruin people's lives over this and to have everybody in America afraid and think that all these people across the world want to kill them all over a lie, it's got to be stopped, man. It's got to be stopped.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it takes. I'm not going to stop until we get this out. You know? I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. How can you keep it in?
No, I hear you. It's a lie that's been going on for too long. It really has been.
I'm gonna let you talk for about 2 minutes. I just gotta step away. When did you first get into what year did you break into the truth movement? And like, what first got you into it?
Me personally, it had to be. You know, what got me, all right, here's the deal. I always was into UFOs and stuff like that, which is weird because, you know, now it's almost come full circle. And, you know, but anyway, so, you know, I was into like I read Bill Cooper back when I didn't really even understand it that well, what he was talking about. And then, you know, I read some Jim Mars and stuff. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, back in like 2005, I was just over a buddy's house and we happened to be looking through a lot of this stuff. And, you know, we were looking up the underground bases and stuff. Make a long story short, you know, I had seen the Michael Moore film and thought it was funny. So, you know, thought it was something to look into. And so, you know, we saw this stuff for 9/11 Truth or whatever. So, you know, I watched Loose Change like everybody else. You know, I was never one that always – I never trusted the government, but I still – you know, I never was either political party either, never really was into it. But to make a long story short, you know, I knew these bastards were guilty. You know, I knew that they were lying. And, of course, I spent the next 3 years just researching. And I didn't even have a computer at the time. I was researching on my cheap cell phone that I had, just sitting there watching YouTube videos on it when I could, you know, and like in a little cell phone. And pretty much just reading articles.
Wow, that's a nightmare.
yeah, dude. I went to the library every day too. Not, you know, we're talking the time. You know, I was broke at the time. You know, so I'm sitting there going to the library to use the computer, and that's, you know, that's what I was doing. I was, you know, looking into this stuff, and finally, like 2008, 2009, I got into Facebook. And from there, just started meeting more and more like-minded people, you know, and from there, just pretty much turned into, you know, it was already like something that I full-time researched, but now I had people to bounce stuff off and stuff to look at, you know, so I dug, you know, in it full ahead, and now here we are. You know, 3 or 4 minutes late, I mean, 3 or 4 years later, you know, of course I was, you know, big with the Ron Paul thing in 2008 and everything, and Cynthia McKinney too. Because you know, and the thing is, I actually was more of a McKinney guy because she was a truther. You know, but to make a long story short, now I'm apolitical. I realize it's all a scam. You know, I realize that there is a lot of good people in that wheel. You know, of the whole truth movement thing. But for the most part, it's a lot of it is spinning their wheels, and a lot of it is just, you know, chasing their tails. But, you know, you know, the ones that bother the people that bother me in it is are the ones that, you know, there's people that know this stuff, and that's good, and I'm glad. But the people that won't even look into it, you know, and as far, that same thing with the Ron Paul stuff goes too. You know, I don't expect you to believe it when I, you know, call out Ron Paul and just say, you know, hey, this guy wants to put in this feudalist money system where, you know, it's just going to, the new fiat is just going to be gold pretty much. It's just going to, you know, and this whole scare campaign of hyperinflation when in reality it's, you know, it's all just, you know, facade like this. And I mean, it's the same way where I think people need to just look at the evidence. Same thing with 9/11. And so I think, you know, that's what bothers me. I think there's some people that look into this stuff more than others and happen to have a better eye for it. And some people that just want to be joiners and go with the flow. And then some people that just believe that they are woken up 100% with the Alex Jones. I mean, I'm not woken up 100%. Nobody is. You know, do we know everything out there? No. But you know what? I guarantee you that I'm going to look at everything with that much more of an open mind and try to learn. You know, and that's the main thing. Nothing is absolute for me, and that's one thing that I wish more people were like that. I think people are like it to a certain extent, but their boundaries. And I mean, you know, I here's the thing. I think David Icke is you know, kind of disinfo with his reptilian thing, but there's times when I'll look into it and say, you know, he's almost on to, you know, the only reason that I would actually believe that, and I don't believe it, but the only reason I would is because I would wonder how humans can do this to other humans. Because to me, you know, but I guess you can go with the thing of they just look at us as useless eaters, you know, you know, bio machines, and you know, whatever else, Chattel, or, you know, Chattel or Goyim, or you know, whatever the catch lines are nowadays, you know, that's how they look at us, you know, with contempt. So you know, it makes you wonder. I like I said, I don't buy into that theory, but I see how people can, you know, and that's the thing about a lot of this stuff. It just takes a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, patience. I'm looking through, you know. So I mean, that's my story. I don't know. That's pretty much where, you know, that's where I am today, anyway. You know.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty. Beta, please stop. Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much in a lot of, you know,
Brian, a lot of interference coming from you, Brian.
Same. Can you hear me?
You got a ton of interference.
Hold
there.
On, let me get into this different room here, because this damn dog's barking. Can you hear me fine now?
Yeah, I hear you. Yep.
All right, listen. See, my problem is, like, I don't understand how people can just choose to ignore certain evidence when it doesn't fit their theories. That drives me nuts. How do people just choose to, you know, they see a piece of evidence, they know it's going to basically debunk their theory, so, all right, we'll look out of five or six pieces of evidence. But we won't look at this one because then I'm going to have to start all over. Well, don't you want to be right? And people do this all the time. We talk about it all the time. People can't admit that they're wrong. And
they invest in theories. That's what they invest all their emotions into one theory. And
into
that's
one theory. And they do. And they follow people. And they don't realize it. And they find somebody that has a theory that's similar to theirs. And they respect their opinion too much, and then they let that person mislead them. And guys, this isn't like Pinocchio or Alice in Wonderland, where you can just go and get the book, you can buy it here, you can buy it here, you can read it and get the same story. You can't just go trust any of these authors to sit down and give you hundreds of hours of truth and give you everything. You have to be able to pick parts from everything. Nobody's just going to give it to you. Do you think somebody's going to come over to you and hand you a 800-page 9/11 book packed with truth and everything we've ever told you? I'd love to do it, but do you really think that that's going to happen? No. people want things handed to them on a silver platter, and it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. And the other thing that drives me nuts is the people that'll argue with you till they're blue in the face, and they haven't looked at a lick of anything.
Right. You know? The people that don't sit there watch hours of, you know, footage of that, you know, watch it with, you know, watch it and they just, you know, well, here's the thing. A lot of people, it's, you know, it's already in their mind that it didn't happen. So they're not going to, you know, if they're not going to see it, that's not going to be funny. The whole thing, if you pause that plane hit, you know, you're going to see, you know, that it really is just nothing's happening. You know, it's just, you know, it's just insane.
175?
Yeah. The South hit.
Yeah, guys, anybody listening right now. Now, by this point, I'm assuming most of the people listening to this radio show have heard many 9/11 broadcasts of ours. I'm sure most of you know that Flight 175 was absolutely a fabrication. In case you didn't, and just so you don't say we're giving you any doctored evidence or anything like that, go get the Michael Herzakhani shot. It came out 2 days later on CNN, and it's Flight 175 coming from the south, smashing into the South Tower. You can literally take your finger and pause the tape at the 6 second mark, the 6.5 second mark, and the and you will get this airplane supposedly doing 550 miles an hour stuck in the side of a concrete building, and the plane nor the building is broken. You tell me how it's possible. And we're the weird ones. Just remember that. We're the weird ones. That's called bad collision technology. Bad graphics. Whatever you want to call it. Virtual software flaws. And it's all over the 9/11 footage. And that is the key piece of evidence, guys. That is the line in the sand. That is why people like Alex Jones attack the no plane theory. They do not want you looking at that. And it's true. It did it for me. That did it for me. Because I knew the plane was fake, because I saw September Clues about a month after waking up. I became a big Alex Jones fan. There was always this thing that stuck in the back of my head. And it always told me, why does Alex Jones, with these teams of researchers for 10 years, not know about this second plane? And how do I know about it? And then when there was that call from Jesse Ventura about Judy Wood and the directed energy weapon, and I started to look at everything, and I started to realize about fake victims, and then I started to kind of put two and two together, and I'm like, fake victims? He doesn't want you looking at fake victims, because he's going to realize there's other fake stuff going on. Alex Jones has been gatekeeping 9/11 this whole time. And he has. That's his biggest job. So is Jason Burmes. You guys ever hear them try to debunk any of this stuff? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's awful. It's awful. I mean, this 9/11 scam that they pulled, they probably thought it was going to go a lot longer, Justin. Look how long Kennedy's gone. Look how long, you know, the moon's gone. And not to say that these are over. There's been a lot of progress made compared to what those cases have done in the first 10, 15 years, you know?
What's that? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm saying with the progress that's been made in 9/11, it's been pretty fast compared to the progress that's taken for the moon over all this time and for JFK.
Oh, of course, and that's because of the internet, you know?
Yes, that's because of the internet. That's because little kids can see shit like this.
You know, but because of the internet, how we're able to network. You know, and that's why they took advantage of it too, and you know, that's why the 9/11 groups went to the internet. You know, that's where, you know, all of this circle jerk really comes out of. You know, but yeah, no, it's. Trying to paste a link into this to the chat here. All right, yeah. Sorry, I'm talking about what I'm doing. I agree. It's Jones is the gatekeeper of all gatekeepers, and you know, he'll hang up on you, erase the call log if he's got to, you know. And I don't know. I you know just If you have any doubts about Jones, just you know, read what Brian's. I mean, read my. Sorry for I'm getting stoned again. Read my Alex Jones is an Inside Job article, and check out the playlist that Brian has set up. One thing in the chat, someone just talked about David Icke. And now listen, I want to give my opinion on Icke, and they're saying, you know, he's not. I'm not saying he's all disinfo. David Icke has a lot of great info. I'm just saying the one thing about Icke that I don't, you know, agree with is the reptilian thing. He may well agree with it. Icke is not terrible. I think that he actually, you know, made a good speech to the Occupy crowd and kind of told him.
We have a call, Justin. We're going to put caller right on, okay?
Sure.
We'll get right back to you in the chat, okay? Sorry about that, buddy.
Caller, you're live.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Miguel. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I saw on your Facebook you posted, like, you wanted to hear stories about how people woke up and how they got into this thing.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really have that much topic for tonight, and I kind of wanted to hear from some of our fans. What woke you guys up, and what got you guys interested in some research? Let's hear it.
Brian, I didn't hear Justin's.
Oh, really? Oh, that makes me feel pretty good. Where did you hear my stories?
Well, you told them on the radio show. You said it was 9/11 that woke you up.
Okay. And how did you find my 9/11 show, though? I mean, that's kind of an odd show to find. Like, did somebody give you that link, or were you my friend on Facebook already,
actually,
or how did that go down?
No, I was because of I was looking at Tarpley's. I was following Tarpley.
Okay, Webster Tarpley. Yep.
Yeah, he was bashing Ron Paul.
Yep.
Like usual, yep. But. At this point, I was like, yeah, he's right. And I knew from my own research that he was right. And all other people know, like Bill Still,
yeah.
He knows that gold is a scam. And
yep.
Exactly.
And
Miguel, I'll get back to you one second. I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, there's a guy, Bill Still, that's running for president and the Libertarian ticket and actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to this stuff. Now, the people that don't understand that the Mises gold, you know, the whole gold thing is just a psyop. You know, they don't understand what's going to happen. Gold is just going to be accepted. It's just going to be the new fiat. But, yeah, no, get back into your story. I'm glad that you're, you're seeing through the facade.
Yeah. And then because I was interested in reading more about that topic, then I did a Google search and I just found the blog that you did on Ron Paul.
Excellent.
And I was like, oh, yeah, these guys get it. And I had seen September Clues way back before, but since there was nobody else who really...
analyzes it or talks good about it. It kind of leaves you hanging out there, right?
There was only, like, Alex Jones was the best there was, so I was following Alex Jones and Tarpley and others, like, because they had the best content I could find. But I knew still that they weren't, like, that they didn't really have, solutions for real.
They never have solutions.
Because what's interesting is, for me, what woke me up first is the financial crisis of 2008.
Right.
And I was kind of before that, I was like your average, 80s generation guy, believed in global warming and like had all this guilty conscience about the planet and blah, blah, blah. And, like a lot of kids in Quebec.
Yeah.
A lot
in the States too, man. Most of the kids I grew up with are totally brainwashed by the global
most like
warming
yeah state. Kind of East Coast more trendy liberal crowd.
Yeah, East Coast, West Coast, the borders.
Pretty much. But then, like, when I heard about this whole bailout thing, I was completely overwhelmed by the amount of money that it represented, like, out of the blue. I had no knowledge in economics, nothing like that. But I was kind of really curious because I wanted to understand, like, why do they have to pay banks like this huge amount of taxpayer money? Like, this sounded to me like it was such a big scam.
A bunch of bullshit.
And, yeah. And so I got into it. At first, I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't understand anything. And I read more and more, like, okay. People were talking about derivatives, and I got to read about that. Then I got to read about, like, people were making comments, and, oh, yeah, it's all... And then they explain how the... I really had to find, like, a good video to explain to me the basics.
I tried to read about derivatives, not to cut you off, and all that did is got me more confused. I felt like Alex Jones always threw that word derivatives out there, and whenever I tried to feel whatever exactly that meant, I could never figure it out.
He never explains it.
Yeah, it's like the ghost trail, derivatives.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're... I'm sorry.
But there's some...
Well, derivatives is in speculative banking, pretty much. It's all insider... It's a big Ponzi scheme. You know,
basically, it's like you take a loan in a bank, and then the bank will resell your loan to somebody else. And the bank gets to make interest and resell the loan, so they make profit by not... really having any loss. And if they sell the loan, the junk loan to somebody else, then, and the loan fails, then they don't really get into too much the person who's stuck with the junk at the end is the loser.
They're insured on their back end too. You know,
So you have a category that is like mortgage-backed securities. That's just a loan that is a house loan that is resold. You have other things like that, like collateralized debt obligations. Like, you have these bunch of loans together that are resold. Like credit cards, stuff. It's just slice and dice and like just stuff into like a package of loans that you sell on the financial market. It's like completely opaque and obscure, and you don't know where it comes from. And they just sell those. It's pure fraud. And then what they do to make these loans appear good, because these loans were so bad that they could never get a good rating on the financial market. Nobody would buy them. So what they did is they took some kind of insurance on these loans. They call that credit default swaps. And that meant that if the loan went into default, they would get money. They would receive money like insurance on the default. So that's what they're talking about when they're selling, like, this is like a casino where they're making bets. Well, because of the credit default swaps, then they could cash in. And that's the excuse they had to make it appear that these loans were safe, but they were not.
And of course the SEC, is in bed with all of these, banks that were all involved in it, of course, too. So, I mean, it's like the fox watching the hen house.
Oh, yeah. These guys were, like, completely into the scam. Of course, they knew that this stuff was junk.
It's just how the FDA safeguards Monsanto, you know, the same way, and that's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
When everything is corrupted, you know, every one of these government agencies is corrupted. Who, you know, how do you you can't trust any of them anymore? Every one of them is total, you know, garbage, and that's the thing. Yeah, go ahead, continue, Miguel. You're definitely doing a good job of breaking that down.
Yes. But even then, like, but that got me into understanding how fractional reserve banking is all, like, the whole system is not really meant to work. Like, before that, I thought that, like, the financial system and the economy were meant to work, that they could work, but some people, I thought it was kind of a zero sum game where people,
it's bullshit, because they can basically loan out, like, you know, 10 times more money than they ever have in the first place and charge us interest on all the money that they never even had.
Yes.
That's insane. I mean, who can't do that? I mean, shit, and sign me up for that too.
And what I found out, it's even worse than some people tell you. Some people explain you the way it's, like, theoretically supposed to work, where the bank has to set aside a reserve, and they can only loan out, like, 10% of each deposit they have. But in reality, they do loan, like, pretty much as they want. And the way I think it works with credit card companies, or like, or mortgages or stuff, is they just create the money, they type it into your account,
exactly.
And it goes directly into the economy, and whenever you get paid, or whenever you pay back your credit card or your mortgage, you'll notice that the balance goes down. So it's like this money that you pay back in, it disappears from the system.
It's like the most manipulated thing it could possibly ever be in the history of, it's unbelievable.
So
I mean, the people that set this up, yeah, are just brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know,
brilliant.
You know what's crazy though, is the sad thing is that most people have no idea how the economy works, and how, like, all of these, you know, any of these scams work, and it's you know, look at how many people even out there, you know, that are awakened don't even know this stuff, and you know to be honest, it's something that's not explained very well and very often. I can tell Miguel's
It's very rarely explained. The only key quote that could direct you to is like the Modern Money Mechanics document, where they have this quote. It's like
is that Mike Montagne?
It's the Federal Reserve of Chicago.
Oh, I thought you were talking. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
It's Mike Montagne.
It's an official document where they actually, in the book, They tell you, really, they have like an honest moment, like they do in like these overcomplicated white papers where they actually tell you how it's going on. I have the quote here.
They actually admit to the scam.
Yeah. So here it is. The quote is: the actual process of money creation takes place primarily in banks. Bankers discovered that they could make loans merely by giving their promise to pay or bank notes to borrowers. In this way, banks began to create money. Transaction deposits are the modern counterpart of bank notes. It was a small step from printing notes to making book entries, crediting deposits of borrowers, which the borrowers in turn could spend by writing their checks, thereby printing their own money.
They're telling you it's all a scam, exactly.
Wait, I think that's... there's another one. Okay, a deposit created through lending is a debt that has to be paid on demand of the depositor. just the same as the debt arising from a customer's deposit of checks or currency in the bank. Of course, this is the key sentence. Of course, they do not really pay out loans from the money they receive as deposits. If they did this, no additional money would be created. What they do when they make loans is accept promissory notes in exchange for credits to the borrower's transaction accounts. So basically, whenever you sign, you create the money.
Yeah, the money's not there until you sign.
Because you just created a promissory note.
Right. Yeah. Promissory right. Note.
And what exactly. They give you, what they give you is the same. They give you back a promissory notes, which is bank notes, which is like Federal Reserve dollars. Like dollar, what you call dollars is Federal Reserve promissory notes. So it's just an exchange of notes. Nobody hands out real money anything of real substance, but they get interest, which means your work and your slavery.
Guys, we all know that this is all bullshit, okay? We all know the whole income tax thing is bullshit. We all know that this is all bullshit. What can we do, though? What are some solutions, seriously?
I don't have
the faintest idea what the right direction is to change this.
I'll tell you what, my thing right there, the only thing we can do is start small, and that's with community currency. And there's a guy on Facebook, actually, Wayne Walton is his name, and he's doing this out where he lives.
Yeah, I've been talking to him, yep.
Yeah, he's doing this out in Colorado, and he's teaching people, pretty much. A new way I believe you based that's you're asking who is Mike Montagne. That's the guy who invented mathematically perfect economics.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to learn it. I'm not the best with the economic stuff. So I'm trying to get it down. But it seems
like
it's a lot. Go ahead, Miguel.
This works. There's a few solutions, but mostly they will not be applied. Like you could dream that there would be a good party that would take charge of things and install because we already know systems that could work, but it's just not gonna happen. What needs to happen?
Here's the thing, though, Miguel. Real quick, then I'll let you finish. Yeah. The sad thing is, though, how close we were to actually having something even just the Zarlenga bill. You know, I'm not saying that a real thing like that, like what works in MPE, but you know, even if they had passed something like that where it stops all the stealing, you know, we're never going to have a system without usury, and I think we need to all if we can make it around it, you know, fine, but I think the Zarlenga bill would have brought enough stuff to at least you're bringing it somewhat back to a somewhat level playing field. You know, it's never going to be tilted. You know, it's never going to be fair, but it would have at least. You know, they're totally robbing us now, and that was something that Kucinich had brought up. And you know, the thing about Kucinich is, just like the rest of him, he's a politician. But you know, and it would mean returning to Glass-Steagall and a couple other things. And I think, you know, for a thing for just right now, it would have helped out a lot. But of course now he's even been pretty much, you know, somehow ousted out of office, which is weird because usually he always gets back in. You know, and I don't have any faith in any politicians, but yeah. it was a bill that was presented, you know, and it would have been something that would have been, you know, pretty good if it went through. You're right. You're right, though. These things are a utopia as far as
politics. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
What would be possible and what could crush the system would be a massive opt-out, like complete withdrawal. Like, because you only need... If you don't need their dollars anymore and you have zero and you can live without, then you don't pay them taxes, you don't work for them, you don't work into the system anymore, so you don't contribute to these wars, you don't contribute to this interest usury that gives them more power, you don't contribute to any of this. Because right now, just by using money every day, we contribute to their power.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing here is you're right, just a total global strike. If we could ever get 25% of the population, even 20%, you know,
it all crashes down.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done, is we need to throw ourselves into the gears, really, and pull ourselves out. That's the easiest way. You know, you don't even need to take direct action. All you got to do is stay home. Stay home, don't buy gas, don't buy anything, you know, don't pay taxes. You know, this goes on long enough, and you're right, the machine will collapse on itself. You know, the carnivores will eat each other. You know, you're totally right. The whole problem with that is waking up everyone to that point. Right now, they have their eyes set on fake solutions and fake elections and everything else. You know, so I mean, I totally agree with you. That's the whole thing is non cooperation with the state. You know,
because otherwise it goes into world currency, everything controlled, everything like everyday life. You'll be spied on nonstop. The only jobs will be spying, data analysis, which means spying pretty much.
Yeah.
Like some kind of weird future programming, pre-crime, all that.
Right. Being a TSA person. Or
yeah.
Some authority figure, because really it's going to come down to like 1 in 4 people. You know, where they had it, you know, the KGB had, you know, neighbors spying on neighbors, and you're going to see people, you know, that are eventually, once, you know, like you're saying, the prison, you know, I hate to say prison planet, but the, you know, that's what they're trying to do, set up a police state to where, you know, these are the only jobs that you're going to have, is going to be informing on your neighbors, and, you know, and like you said, data entry.
Running the machine, yeah. Running the system.
Yep. And think about it. They don't need that many people for that, and that's and that's why they got their slow kill things going on, you know. And that's my opinion. I don't see them, you know, really using the FEMA camp thing. I think it's kind of more of a scare thing. They are there, obviously. Maybe, you know, a few people might end up there, but the whole thing about it is they
have this completely unnecessary, because
it is, because everyone keeps feeding into the machine. So why would they have?
And with all the sterilization, and the low reproductive rates,
the amount of girls being born compared to guys, you know, it's you're 100% right, and that has to do with all the hormones and the, you know, bisphenol A. You know, the bovine growth hormones, you know, that's why you're seeing girls go into puberty at 6 years old nowadays. And you're seeing, you know, men have lower sperm counts, and Monsanto GMOs does it too. With their Terminator seeds, you know, the whole thing here is that's how they're going to do this, with poisoning everything, our water, our air, and our food. And it's slow kill. You know, you're not going to come to your house in the middle of the night, red list, blue list. That's total just Jonestown fear mongering, you know. I'm glad you're you're totally up on it, and you know, I'm glad you explained the economic thing a lot better than I could, so I thank you for that.
But for the sake of arguments, like, the system that works is a system where money is created equal to human production. Because that system, and that when money is created, it would get spread out evenly as a free revenue to everyone, like in the country.
Right.
Because then like all, and of course all natural resources would be owned by the people, and every company that exploits it would have to pay the people like a fee.
right,
for the privilege of just taking stuff out of the ground.
Kind of like the Alaska Permanent Fund, to a point to where it's at least taking, okay, well, the people of Alaska at least paid something for the oil that comes out of their ground.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I'm not saying it's the perfect thing, but a buddy of mine touts it as being one of the examples of something, you know, that would be ideal. You know, and you're right. The corporations don't own the land. You know, we pay for it. You know, I think it's.
But it can also be avoided. Like, people could take the resources for free if there was, like, if money was tied to production. Because the problem is we don't have enough money to buy all that we produce. The only way we can buy everything of, we have a problem of overproduction. The only scarcity is money, because there's not enough money to buy everything. So this creates a problem where you have to export, or prices go down and you have extra inventory. But if you have a system where production is tied to money creation, you could have, like, you could build, you could generate instantly. Like, you could say tomorrow we want to rebuild our whole
roadways.
If you have a system where production create maglev trains, and you could create the money to do that, as long as the end products has the same value as the money you put in, then the money can stay in the system, and there will be no hyperinflation. Everybody will get richer.
Right. You know, that's pretty much the organic money theory, pretty much, that, you know, everybody's already, you know, money is already, it's made, you know. In other words, you know, we shouldn't have to work, you know, as much as we do. On a much level playing field. I don't know. I'm not exactly explaining the point well of it. So, but you know, the whole fact of it is, I've had it explained to me, and you know, the whole thing is that, you know, just like they make money, you know, it can very well, you know, work the other way around. You know, not on a scam way, but
it's like, imagine that we're having like a ton of leeches on our body right now. Like, our body is the economy, but right now we have all these leeches, and we're so much weaker than we could be. Like, if we could somehow remove all the leeches, we would be like exponentially more powerful.
Exactly. And
like,
think about
we're barely surviving, and we have all this great stuff that still gets produced, but our mind will be blown by what we could achieve in terms of economy in a system like that.
Well, could you imagine? Here's the thing. Here's the thing right here. Now, could you imagine, for one, if they kept all the jobs here, like, you know, and you didn't have it going to China for cheap stuff,